Praise the Lord.
Thank you for what Team Challenge is doing in the life of all these men. And to think that we as Christians, way back yonder, we had let one woman take prayer out of school, and that started all this nonsense. It's a shame that we as Christians don't pray and stand up against evil, because there should be no daddies leave home. You know, I mean, I hate to say this, but you know what I would like to do to every daddy that walks off after he gets a woman pregnant and has two or three or four children and then walks in and tells her he don't love her and he wants a divorce? I would just love to see a great big punching bag come out with a big fist in it and just hit him right in the nose, just straight on, and pound him out the front door. And we need some daddies or granddaddies that when that happens, we need some granddaddies that are men of God that will go over to their son's house when he makes a statement like that and get him out there and whoop him with a 2x4 and tell him, you give up your right. You give up your right to do this. When you tuck that woman and you had a baby with that child, with that woman, from now on, you're committed to that woman. And you're going to work hard to support that woman. Did you know that's the way we used to live when I was raised up? Amen. You know, there was no divorces in the town I lived in. You know, I had 22 people in my graduating class when I graduated from high school, and all 22 of us had the same set of parents when we graduated as we did when we started. There was not one divorce, not one. Yet when we come up here years later, my son started a Northwest High School. He come home after a few days and said, Dad, what's wrong with us? I said, what do you mean, what's wrong with us? He said, Daddy, I'm the only boy in the class that don't have at least two or three sets of parents. I said, well, son, then we're the only normal parent in the bunch. We're the only ones. And I said, it'll always be like this with us. I said, we'll not be a mixed family. As long as your mother and I are alive, we will be together. I can guarantee you, when I married her and she married me, we made a decision right then. We married forever, for better, for worse, whatever, we were married. And the main reason we did that, because we took an oath before God. And that's the beautiful part. My wife was a Christian at the time. I was a Christian at the time because we were raised up in a Christian home. My heart breaks for you boys that I see the same thing in all of your life. You have a lack of parenting, you know, and I didn't have that. I had a parent, mother, father that loved me, that would do anything for me, that was a perfect example for me. And that's why I haven't had to go through what you guys have had to go through. I am so grateful because I had a good mom and a good dad. But everybody, I mean, anytime a man, now I can understand if a man of the world does this, but I can't understand a man that's been going to church that does this. These are the men I want to get a club a hold of, you know, knock some sense in them, because, you know, this should never be. And in fact, I may even make this statement, if you're a true Christian, you won't never do that. You won't ever do it. If you're a true Christian, you've really been born again, you've really been filled with the Spirit of God, you will never get away from God. I mean, there may be some things that'll happen in your life. You may wish you wanted to change or you could change, but you will never get away from God. You'll never leave Him. I mean, I got saved when I was 11 years of age, and I have never had a backsliding time, and I'm 74. And I've never had a time of backsliding. I knew God was real. My mother and daddy demonstrated Him to me. You know, they prayed for me everywhere. Even when I went to Vietnam, to fight in Vietnam for this country, my mother said she had never seen my daddy pray for me as much as he did when I was in Vietnam. He was so afraid I wasn't coming back. That's the kind of family I had. And I praise God for that family. My heart breaks when I see men like you guys. It took you so long to find the answer, and the same thread goes through all of you. You didn't have a good family. You didn't have a husband, a man that would stand, that would love his wife like Christ loved the church. And that's what causes all these problems. The governor was right the other day when he said, what we need in America, we don't need to take up the guns. He said, we need to get back to Jesus. I thought, that's exactly what we need. We need to get people in church, and then we need to get men in church that will produce a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power so men will know that God is real. Now, I'm going to share a couple of things with you today about how awesome God is. And I'm going to share with you a testimony in a minute, but I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. I quoted these scriptures to somebody the other day, and they had obviously never heard them. And it really shocked them when I read this, but it's in Luke 12, 47 and 48. I want you to see this, Luke 12, 47 and 48. And in the King James Bible, put it in the King James Bible. Let's look at this. And let's see what this says. And that servant, now that's what we are, you know, we're servants of God. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, you know, people don't believe God will do these kind of things, but I don't care who you are. If you get out of the will of God, you're going to be beaten with many stripes. Now, those stripes come in many different ways, but people don't understand where this is coming from. The next verse, and he says, but he that knoweth not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him they will ask the more. Did you ever think about God putting a scripture in the Word that says if you don't obey him, he will beat you with stripes? But let me tell you, he'll do that. These men have encountered those beatings. They have encountered them, and they didn't even understand where they were coming from. But they were coming from God, because God was doing what he could to beat these men with stripes, to get them to the point where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. And if he can bring you to that point before he kills you, and you come to the point where you men have come to, it's unfortunate that a lot of people don't ever get there. A lot of people die and they go to hell every day, and God is trying his best to get our attention, to straighten us up, to get us to come to him. He wants us to love him and serve him and worship him. That's what he put us here for. This is the whole purpose of your being here on this planet. For this little, like the song y'all sing, this is not our home. You know, this is not where we're to be, but it's your home for a few years. Now, it ain't going to be long. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years at best. Very few people ever get to be 100 years old. Most people now from 60 to 80, it's all over. When I was a young man, my dad was 50. My dad was 35 years older than me, and I come in one day, and I was 15, and he was 50. He was sitting there in his easy chair trying to get easy. I said, what's wrong, Dad? Something wrong with you? He said, son, my back's killing me. He had heavy equipment. He was always working on bulldozers. He always worked hard, worked from can to can. My dad was the only 165-pound man I ever knew in my life that could reach over and take a 400-pound barrel of diesel and tilt it over the back of his pickup and flop it right side up by himself. I can't do that, never have been able to do that to my day, but he could. He was a man's man, but he only weighed 165 pounds. But he was a man that knew how to love. And he loved me. He loved my mother. And my mother loved him. And we had a great life. And so because my daddy was such a good man and my mother was such a good woman, and in my whole life, as I think about this young man saying he saw his daddy beat his mother and all that, in the whole life I was raised up, I never even heard my daddy speak a loud word to my mother. Never. He loved her. I remember one time we were sitting at dinner. Mother had scrimped to fix us a beautiful dinner the best she could. And when I sat down to dinner, I said, Mom, is this all we got for dinner? My daddy looked at me and he said, son, if you don't like what your mother's prepared for dinner, you just go outside until you get hungry, and then you come back in, you'll enjoy what she's got. He said, I don't ever want to hear you say another word about what your mother fixes. You just praise God and eat it. And let me tell you, that's what I did from that day forth. He didn't have to tell me for one time. Because I knew he had a razor strap on the wall. And I knew if I had to be told the second time, I knew what had happened to my backside, and I wasn't going to like it. I'd already had that a time or two before. But that's what's wrong with us. You know, we're not beaten with those stripes by our dad when we do something wrong. We shouldn't have to be beaten much. But if you run into a child that didn't have a daddy or didn't have a mother, the child has never been spanked by a loving father. And if he's not been spanked by a loving father, he'll never learn how to be obedient. He'll never learn that God will beat him with stripes. He'll beat you with either few stripes or many stripes. I will have to say, the more you know, the greater becomes the requirement. As you see there, God expects more. Now I'm going to tell you something about me and something that happened to me this week. First, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me 20 years ago. 25 years ago. About 25 years ago, I was not near the man of faith that I am today. I've grown a lot in the Lord in the last 25 years. But I still knew Jesus really well. I was a deacon in a Baptist church, a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church, and I studied God's Word a lot. I read the Word, and I knew a lot of the promises of God. And I was way ahead. My own pastor told me at the Baptist church, he said one day, Thurman is the only man in church that knows more about the Bible than I do. He said, but he studies it more than I do. And that's probably true, but I did read it. I didn't read it to be smarter than him. I read it because I loved God and I wanted to know more about God. And I just had a burning desire in my heart to learn and know about God. And so I know he put that in there. I had nothing to do with it. It was totally him. But anyway, I was working for a large corporation as an engineer, and I was in Kansas City, and we had a big compactor, and we had to fix this big compactor. And when we did and we put it back in place, when they set it in there, it locked about 2 inches lining up, and the thing probably weighed 5,000 pounds at least. And so we had to move it. And so we got some great big pipes, long pipes, and we put them in the right place. And I remember I was out there on the end of one of them pipes, you know, with my feet on the wall, pulling with all my weight to move that thing into place. And we finally got it in there, all right, where we could get the bolts in it. But in the process, I felt a tear in my lower stomach. Well, I didn't think anything about it until I got to the hotel that night. And when I took my clothes off to take a shower, I looked down, there was a bulge on my side. And I thought, wow, what is this? I never seen that before. So I went ahead and took my shower, and it was all soft and bulgy right there. And so I went and laid down in the bed. And when I laid down, I looked down, and it's not there. I said, well, I don't know what that was, but it's going away. I'm okay. You know, but I didn't realize the next morning when I got up, it was there again when I stood up. When I lay down, I'm okay. But when I stand up, it's there. And I didn't know what it was. I'd never seen one of these things. So when I come home from there that day, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't know what has happened to me, but something, and I showed her this bulge on my side, and she got her medical book out and began to read, and she said, this is a hernia. This is what this is. Said, you've done something to cause a tear in your wall, in your liner, in your stomach. I said, well, okay, I guess maybe I better go to the doctor and see what he says about it. And so I go to the hospital in Louisville, and a doctor checks me, and he said, yes, you have a hernia. He said, it's not terribly bad, but he said, are you a very active man? And I told him, yes, sir, very active. He said, well, if you ever go deer hunting and you throw a deer over your shoulder and start to carry it out, you're probably going to strain yourself. And said, that intestine is going to pooch out through that hole, and when it does, it's going to get strangulated. And then he said, it can cause tremendous problems quickly. And said, if you were out in the country like that, you might even die before you could get to a doctor. So he kind of scared me. And so he said, if you're really active, you should have it fixed. So I said, okay. So I said, but how long do I have to spend in a hospital? He said, 3 days. I said, 3 days? And I said, how long do I have to stay off work? He said, 6 weeks. I said, no, Doc, I won't do it like that. I said, I'm a man of God, and I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, and I know His promises. I am what you will call a man of faith. And I said, we'll do it as an outpatient. He said, I don't do hernia surgeries as an outpatient. I said, well, if you do mine, you're going to do it that way, because I'm not going to spend 3 days in the hospital. I said, I have never spent a day in a hospital in my life, and I don't plan to spend one now. And he said, are you serious? I said, yes, sir, I'm serious. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, you are in very good health. So he said, I'll do the surgery, and you, when you wake up, if you can get up off the bed by yourself and put your clothes on by yourself, he said, I'll let you go home. I said, it's a deal. I shook hands with him, and I said, when you want me to come in? And he told me the following Tuesday at 7 o'clock. He said, be here about 6, and we'll do the surgery at 7. So I showed up at the hospital, and they did the surgery on me at 7 o'clock. And about 1 o'clock, I woke up, and my first thought was, you know, when I woke up, I was going to get up like this. You know, this is the way I always get up. My stomach muscles were good and strong. But as soon as I did this, I found out that didn't feel too good. So I thought maybe I ought to turn over on my side and kind of push up sideways, and that felt a whole lot better. It didn't hurt extremely well, but I put my feet on the floor and reached over and got my breeches, and I put them on, put my shirt on, and I'm sitting there. And about 30 minutes later, he walks in. He said, you're up. I said, yes, sir, I told you, I'm going home. And he says, well, you sure you feel okay? I said, sure, I feel great. And he said, okay. He said, well, here, take this bottle of pills with you. I said, what's that? He said, it's painkiller. You'll need those. I said, sir, I don't take pills. I don't take any kind of pill. I won't put a pill in this body from nobody. I just won't take it. He said, well, I'm not going to let you go home without it. I said, why is that? Because he said, when this stuff wears off, I put in your body. He said, I guarantee you're going to be screaming in pain. And he said, I ain't going to let you wake me up at 1 o'clock in the morning telling me I got to come down to get you a bottle of pills because you're dying with pain. He said, I don't care what kind of man of faith you are. I know how bodies work. And whenever your pain killer wears off, you're going to have pain. I told him, I said, I will have no pain, because it's written in Mark 11:23, whatever I say with this mouth, if I can believe it with this heart, I can have it. I said, my King made me that promise. And I said, I know that. I have read His word, and I believe He means what He says. And so he said, well, okay. But said, if you take the pills, I'll let you go home. I said, okay, I'll take the bottle. I said, I'm going home, but I ain't taking the pills. I had to take them with me. I took them with me, and I went home. I walked out of there, got in the car. I wouldn't let them put me in a wheelchair. I said, I can walk. I don't need it. Just because I've had hernia surgery, I'm okay. I went out, and I got in the car. We drove home. My wife drove me home. I didn't drive. We got home, and that night after we got home, I guess it was, 10 or 11 o'clock, she come in, and she said, do you want one of these pain pills? I said, no, honey, I don't want one. I'm not going to have any pain. Jesus made me a promise in His word. Now, see, that's something, when we learn God's a faith God, gentlemen, when you learn He's a faith God, you have to believe Him with no doubt in your heart. He will do awesome things for you, but you have to believe. He is a faith King. He's not just a fly-by-night cowboy. He is the faith God. And so by 12 o'clock, she said, do you want one of these pills? Are you having any pain? I said, absolutely not, honey. I'm not having any pain. I am going to have no pain with this surgery. I will not have pain, because Jesus said in His word, He bore my pain and removed my disease in Matthew 8:17. I said, because He said that, I said, I will have no pain. I said, if the King has already bore my pain for me, then I'm going to let Him bear it, and I'm not going to have it. Does that make sense? Amen. So I slept through the night perfect. I didn't have any problem. I woke up the next morning about 7, like I always did, 6 or 7. I got up and walked around a little while, had a little breakfast, you know, and then I went back and lay down. And she said, how do you feel? I said, I feel great. She said, and you have no pain? I said, absolutely not, and I'm not going to have any pain. I really believed what Mark 11:23 said. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus told us all of this, promises to all of us. He said, assuredly I tell you, that whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you're going to have it. And so you have to realize your mouth is your best friend or your worst enemy. And so I had learned the principles of the kingdom and I stood on them. So I go through about Thursday and I'm feeling so good. I finally tell her, now my pickup is a standard shift. And so I have to use my left leg to shift. So I tell her, I'm going out to the farm. We lived in Louisville at the time, but I had this place. I told her, so I'm going out to the farm to check my cows. She said, honey, you've only been, this is only Thursday. And he said, you're not supposed to get out and do anything for at least 2 or 3 weeks. I said, well, he don't know what a faith man can do. He doesn't know what faith is. But I said, I'm gonna go check the cows. I'm okay. So I got in my pickup and I drove from Highland Village where we lived out here. And I checked all my cows, walked around out here and looked at them. Everything was okay. Got back in my pickup and I drove back home. And Sunday to come, I taught my Sunday school class Sunday morning. I didn't tell anybody I'd had surgery the last Monday in church. I just praised the Lord for my complete healing with no pain. And then Monday morning, I had to go to Kansas City again. So I get my bag and I go get on an airplane and I go to Kansas City and I work for the next week. And then I come home. And then the next week I'm at home. The next week I go out of town again for another week carrying my bag and all that stuff. Didn't have roller bags back in those days. You know, we had the kind you had to carry. And so I carried my bag and all that stuff. And then he told me, he said, after 4 weeks, come back to see me. And so I did. Monday morning, 4 weeks later, I went in and he looked at it. And when he looked at it, he said, boy, am I getting good. I said, now, what do you mean by that? He said, there's not hardly even a scar where I done that surgery. He said, man, I do good work. I said, well, doc, my faith didn't hurt either. I said, my faith had a whole lot to do with, you know, your faith has a whole lot to do with the way you turn out. Amen. Your faith in God. If you have faith in God, he will show up to help you. If you don't have faith in God, he will not show up to fix you. But anyway, he said, you know, as good as this is, he says, I think maybe instead of going 2 more weeks, maybe we can just go 1 more week and then you can go back to work. I said, doc, I went back to work 3 weeks ago. I said, on Monday, the first week after I left here, I went back to work. I've made 2 trips across the country, carried my, he said, you have done what? I said, doc, I told you I'm a man of faith. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, whatever I believe in my heart, I can have. Y'all see where we miss it? We go around letting the enemy defeat us all the time because we don't know the Word of God. And so that's why that nobody wants you to study the Bible. Nobody wants you to believe the real promises of God. When you really believe the promises of God, Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, he says, gentlemen, there is nothing impossible with us. Nothing. And that didn't come from some fly-by-night cowboy. That come from the King of the universe, the one that created you, the one that created me. And so anyway, he said, well, you're okay then. He said, if you've been doing that, he said, I'll just sign you off. You're okay. And so he did, and I never had any problems of any kind for years. I walked in health, and I was blessed every way in the world, and I worked till I finally retired from the actually got old enough to retire, but because I was always talking about Jesus in my workplace, they fired me. And what finally happened after I'd been with that company 29 years, of course, it sold 2 times. And the third time, HR threatened me because I signed my emails, praise the Lord. Every time I do something, I would sign my emails, praise the Lord. And the head HR man come over and wanted to terminate me. He said, the CEO said, to threaten me with termination if I wouldn't agree to stop signing my emails, praise the Lord. And I told him, no, I would never stop that. I would do it. That's my freedom. I ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do when it comes to Jesus. He said, the CEO said to terminate you. I said, okay, good. I said, show me where I sign. I'm ready to leave the company. I said, I don't work for y'all anyway. Y'all just pay my salary. I work for Jesus. He's my boss. And so he said, Thurman, are you serious? I said, yes, fire me. He said, well, the CEO, I got to tell you this. The CEO also said, threaten him with termination, but don't fire him because he's the best engineer we got. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, how can you be the best if you don't know Jesus? See, he's the one makes you best. You can't be nothing on your own, but you can be everything with Jesus. And I had done some phenomenal jobs for those people. I'd saved them thousands of dollars. That CEO that threatened me to do that sent me to Chicago, and in 2-day trip, I saved them $950,000 in 1 2-day trip. You know CEOs like men that can do that? You know that? Nearly $1 million I saved them in a 2-day trip. Anytime you can go out and save anybody that kind of money, they ain't gonna fire you even if they don't like you. You know, they may not like what you do, but they're not gonna fire you. They love you. But anyway, they wouldn't fire me right then. So a few weeks or months later, one day I was in receiving, and there was I heard screaming, I mean screaming, down toward the hot food section. And I went running down to the hot food section, and there was a Spanish lady. She was our cafeteria cook, and this lady had a great big old rotisserie oven that's about 10 foot long, had a great big old steel door across the front with rotating racks in there that they loaded it up and took them out. This lady was taking the material out for lunch for all the cafeteria upstairs that evening, and she happened to reach in and get one. She had a pair of gloves on and a blouse on, and everything between here was exposed. And she reached over and get something, and her foot slipped on a piece of something on the floor, and she laid this arm down on the door of that oven. When she laid her arm down there from where the glove was to where the blouse was, it just fried it. That door was 250 degrees. It just fried it, and where there was little marks in the door, it just burns in her arm. Big old blisters were coming up all over her arm. I heard her screaming. I go running down there. When I got there, I saw her, and I said, oh my goodness, they were trying to put oil on her, butter on her, you know, water on her, everything. And it was on her right arm, so I ran up and grabbed her left arm. I quoted Isaiah 53:4-5, for the Lord bore her pain, so she wasn't to bear the pain. Then I quoted Mark 16:18, where the Lord says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But I said, I don't know how long he'll take. So my favorite verse, Mark 11:23, I said, the king says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I said, woman, I guarantee you'll get a supernatural healing from my king, and his name's Jesus Christ. And I turned her loose, and all of her pain stopped just like that. The woman stopped screaming. They said, Edelina, let's take you to the doctor. She said, no. She said, after Thurman prayed, I don't have any pain. So she said, I got to serve the cafeteria. Everybody's hungry. So she put the racks on, finished it, and loaded her rack up and goes upstairs. And I went to dinner with Randy, and Randy looked at her arm, and he said, Edelina, what in the world happened to you? She said, well, I burned myself in the oven a while ago. He said, well, why don't you go to the doctor? She said, well, after Thurman prayed for me, I don't have any pain. It's okay. So I don't want to go to the doctor. So she goes home that night, and her husband sees it. He wants to take her to emergency right then. She says, oh, honey, I'm too tired. I don't want to go. She said, if it's bothering me in the morning when I get up, you can take me then. Edelina woke up the next morning, and her arm was beautiful, not even a mark or a scar or nothing, a brand new arm. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Jesus Christ that we serve. You know, now I served him a lot of years and didn't know he'd done that kind of work. It took me a long time to figure that out, but I finally figured it out. Well, let me tell you, last summer, I was helping Bruce replace a 5-ton condensing unit on one of our buildings. And when I picked up my side, I happened to get the side that had the compressor. They're extremely heavy, a 5-ton. And so, I've always considered myself a man's man. You know how you are. You know, you think you're bigger than you are sometimes. And so I didn't have any problem carrying my side over there and putting the condensing unit in the truck and taking the new one out and setting it on there. But while I was carrying that, I felt a tear in my other side. I didn't think anything about it, but I thought, well, what was that little pain I had in my side? So after we got the air conditioning on and pumped down and fixed and everything finished and got it all going, when I got home, I got to take my shower and I thought, uh-oh, there's another one of those bulges on the other side. I said, Lord, I'm a whole lot smarter now than I was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I had faith then to believe I could have the surgery with no pain. But now, Lord, I have faith to believe you can fix this. I believe I don't have to go in to have surgery at all. I believe that you can do a creative miracle on me. And so I just prayed for myself for about 3 months. Nothing happened, but I praised him and thanked him for my healing. And then one day I was in the bathroom taking a shower and my wife walked in. I got this great big old bulge on my side. She said, honey, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, well, I got a hernia. I said, I did it changing an air conditioning unit. She says, my goodness, look at that thing. I said, yeah, I know. I said, you can pray with me. You can start praying with me and agreeing with me that God's going to heal it. I said, and praise him and thank him that it is already healed. It's done in Jesus' name. So for about 8 months, we have worshiped and praised the King. This is what I'm trying to tell people. Don't ever give up on God. Amen. He does things in his own time frame. So we got an invitation to go to a healing ministry's teaching in Dallas this weekend on Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. Well, a bunch of us went. Rosemary went. I went. Cheryl went. My wife went. Jeff went. Eldon went. Gracie and Mike went. Each day is a 12-hour day from 9 in the morning till 9 at night. That's a pretty long. But you have a 2-hour lunch break and then a 2-hour evening lunch break. So it's actually only 8 hours of teaching, 3 days. Well, the man that was doing the school was Henry Wright. He asked me to come to his school and teach one time, which I did. He wasn't there, so I didn't get to talk with him. And he doesn't know me personally, or didn't. And so this time when he invited me, we signed up to go. So he expected us to be there, but I didn't know he did not know me. So we sat right in the middle. He was looking right straight at me. He wasn't no further away from me to you, brother. But he didn't know who I was. And so when dinner come, I didn't know he had expected me to sit at the head table with him. I didn't know it until we came back from lunch. We just went to a little restaurant down the street for lunch. And so when we all went to lunch, we came back and we walked in and one of his men, Jim, there was telling us that Jeff was talking to him and telling him he worked for the Living Savior Ministries. And he said, oh, is Pastor Thurman here? And he said, yes, he is. And he said, well, Pastor Wright wanted to meet him and talk to him. So I said, okay. So I go up there when he comes in, tell him, shake hands with him. Hi, Brother Wright, I'm Pastor Thurman Scrivener. He said, oh, I'm so glad you're here and so glad to meet you. He hugged me and everything. He said, since you and I both have the same kind of ministries, he said, I'd like to sit down and talk with you. And I said, well, I'd love to sit down and talk with you too. And I had no idea that it was not going to be God's plan this trip for me to sit down and talk with him. But to prevent that from happening, you know, a lot of times there's ways I think God could do things that would be better than he does it. Do y'all know what I mean? But ever since that hernia came upon me, I know what the scripture says. In fact, I also know the scripture in 1 Peter 3:10. Let's see what that says a minute. And this is probably one of my terrible sins. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, that his lips that they speak no guile. Now, I will have to say, it's very difficult for a man of God that loves God, that fought for his country, not to talk about the government today. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? I just can't believe what we've got in Washington. But every time I think about that now, God's telling me what I need to do is pray for the boys, not talk about them. Well, I've spent too much time talking about them. And I think God got fed up with me talking about them. And so he, in fact, with my anger about the government, anger is what causes hernias. Do y'all know that? Most people don't. Most people have no idea. There is a cause and effect for every disease you have. I've learned that. I've learned it well. But anger causes it. And so if you want to have a hernia, you want to have a blood clot, just keep getting angry and eventually it will kill you. It will bring a blood clot in you or it will bring a hernia on you. And then if you have a hernia, you're going to have a lot of faith to get God to fix it. And most people don't have it. So they go to a doctor to get fixed. And it costs them all that pain and suffering and everything. So anyway, when God speaks, do you know he don't just speak just to hear his head rattle? You know, he speaks to mean business. So you need to be very careful what comes out of your mouth. So anyway, here we are sitting in his seminar down there in Dallas, listening to what he's trying to teach. And we have a great morning, a great afternoon. We go to lunch, then we go to dinner that evening. And then we come back and we're sitting there. It's going to be over at 9 o'clock and it's about 8:20. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I'm getting so cold, I can't stand it. And so I put my coat on, and Cheryl says, "Are you okay?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure." I said, "I think there's something going on in my body that I don't understand because I'm cold." She said, "Well, it's not cold in here, honey." I said, "Well, I didn't think so. Nobody else has got a coat on, but I am cold." And so she said, "You want to go home?" I said, "Not yet." We sat there about 5 or 10 more minutes, and I said, "I can't stand it. I've got to go." I said, "Let's go." So I told Jeff, he's sitting right beside me, I said, "Jeff, you got to let me out." So Jeff went out, and I went out. When I got to the aisle, I could not stand up. And so I said, "Jeff, can you help me to the car?" He said, "Of course." And so Cheryl comes behind me, and here I am, a healing minister. You talk about Humdinger, you know, a healing minister in a place for all these people, and here I am walking like this. God knows how to humble you. Yeah, he really knows how to do it. You know, but he's God, isn't he? And so we get out to the car, and when we get to the car, by the time we get to the car, I am hurting so bad in my stomach area. It's like God's in there with a flint knife doing surgery on me with no antiseptic. I have never had a pain. I've had back pains in my life. I've heard people say back pain is equivalent to childbirth. Well, I don't know. I never had a child, but I've had back pains many times. At least 6 or 8 times I've been down in my back. But I'm going to tell you, on a scale of 10 to 1, all them pains I ever had is a 1. This one I had Thursday night is a 10. I ain't never had a pain like this in my body. I was screaming. I couldn't stand, and I have a tremendous pain tolerance. When I tore my hand all to pieces that time, I never had nothing but thank you, Jesus. That's all I had. I mean, it tore my hand in that machine. It ripped skin, fingers, and everything else off, and I trusted Jesus and come home. Wouldn't even go to a doctor, nothing. I only let Cheryl clean it. I mean, this first finger here was tore plumb to the bone from this end to this end. I could see bone all through there. And I just trusted Jesus, nothing but a Band-Aid. And I'm going to guarantee you today, you can't hardly find a scar by trusting Jesus. And it didn't cost me a dime to fix that hand. He fixed it for free. That's the God we serve. And I know him like that. I know he can do anything. But I'm praying for my healing. And I believe that because of some of the things I knew Henry and I were going to discuss, I wasn't armed completely where I needed to be with where he is. He told us, he said, "There are some things I want to talk to you about." And he said some things that if you don't believe what I'm teaching here, then come to me with scripture. Well, I knew he was wrong. I know he's wrong. But he doesn't know he's wrong. And so I come home after I got home. And of course, it didn't take me a couple of days. But after I come home, when I had a little time, he said, "Come to me with scripture." I have already got 60 scriptures to confirm what I know is true. That he said that's not true. I didn't have that before. But I don't want to go sit down with no man that I can't show you. Don't come and try to tell me I'm wrong. I'm just like Henry. If you say I'm not wrong, bring me the Word of God to show me I'm wrong. I'll listen to you if it's in the Word. But if it's just what you think, I don't care what you think. I don't care what anybody thinks. I've heard a lot of things. And as long as I listen to man, I never got anybody set free or healed. When I started believing God's Word, that's when I started getting people healed. So I'm going to tell you. As I come out there, I couldn't stand up. And when I got to the car, I was hurting so bad. I sat down in the front seat, and the pain was so bad. I said, "Oh, goodness, Lord." I said, "I can't stand this." I said, "I'm hurting so bad." I said, "I'm going to try to get in the back seat, Cheryl. You drive me home. I'm going to lay down." I got in the back seat, and the pain doubled the minute I laid down. It was, oh, my gosh, it was excruciating. I can't tell you. I never had a pain like that in my life. My whole inside was like there was a lion in there tearing me apart. I never had anything like this. And so I sat back up. I said, "I can't lay down. I can't lay down, but I'm going to sit up." So I sat up. I said, "Honey, go home." And there's a little voice kept saying, "You need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the hospital." I said, "That's out of the question. I don't go to doctors. I don't go to hospitals. I don't care if I die. I'm not going to a hospital or a doctor. I'm going to trust Jesus till I die on this earth." And I said, "Go home." And so she started home, and she started calling all the prayer warriors. She started calling Eldon and Nancy and Dave. And of course, Jeff already knew about it. But everybody that works in the ministry, she called to tell them to pray for me. I was undergoing some kind of tremendous problem. And the Lord was trying to tell me, "I am tired of your disobedience." That's kind of a hard one to take, isn't it? I'm tired of your disobedience. That scripture that says, if I know to do well and don't do it, how many times do you think I've taught that? 1 Peter 3:10. How many times do you think I've taught that in my life? Many. Yeah, many. And how well do you think I know that? Very well. And then I break his rules. I talk about, you know, when Obama was reelected, I had to read over and over, there's no man in power except I put him there. There's no man in power except I put him there. So who put Obama in power?
God.
He's got a plan. He's going to judge his nation with Obama.
Amen.
You know? And so all I need to do is pray. You know? And if I pray and walk in obedience to God's word, he says, I may see 10,000 fall at my right hand, but it will not come near me. And do you know we may see that this year?
Amen.
That could happen. I mean, the wickedness is so severe in this country. If God is not going to judge us, when I think about, we kill 3,500 babies a day. 3,500 babies a day we kill. And yet the other day they got so upset because 20 little kids got killed up there in Connecticut. Everybody's in an uproar, but nobody thinks about the 3,500 every day we kill in the abortion mills. Every day. Every day. And 115,000 around the world every day. I'm telling you, if it don't get God angry pretty soon, I don't know what he's going to do. But I think he's just about to the brink. And I think we're fixing to see judgment. We are already seeing judgment. It's falling everywhere. But as we start at home, I'm praying, I'm screaming to God, God, I got to have help. See, I know that God does everything. I know he's in charge of everything. I don't worry about the devil no more. I know who the devil works for. He works for God. And Jesus is in control. The scripture tells me that Jesus defeated him on the cross. Totally. And when Jesus stood there and says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go in my power. What do I have to fear? Nothing but God. I don't have to worry about rebuking the devil. All I got to do is make God happy. So we finally get home. And I'll tell you, that little probably 30-minute drive from North Dallas to here, you know how long that was in that car with me hurting? At least 10 days. That's the longest ride from Dallas I ever had in my life. You know, I thought about how awful it's going to be for those that are going to wind up in hell forever. You know, I was asked a question when I was in third grade. I'll never forget. That's the only thing I remember about the third grade. The teacher said, what is time? I said, time? I don't know. I have no idea. She said, what is time? I said, well, ask me. I have no idea. And I don't think anybody in the room had any idea of third graders. She said, time is relative to what you're doing. She said, if you were holding your flame in a fire, 1 minute would be an eternity. And I thought, wow, a minute? I said, I can just touch a hot kettle at home where mama's cooking something, just barely touch it, and I can't get away from it quick enough. I said, to hold on to that thing for a minute, that would be an eternity. But she said, you know, if you were kissing your best girlfriend, a minute wouldn't be very long. I thought, hey, that's right. You know, you can get hung up kissing your best girlfriend, and a minute goes by and nothing flat. And there was no pain in that either, right? It was good, you know, to kiss your best girlfriend. I don't have a problem at all hugging and kissing my wife for a minute or two, and it don't seem like nothing's taking place, just a few seconds. But boy, if I was holding my finger in a fire, ooh, that would be a long time. And I think about those people. As I drove down that road, I thought, God, I know this pain I'm suffering is nothing compared to what the people in hell are suffering. I said, oh, God, I said, I know it's too late to ask you to be merciful to them. They've already signed their fate. They're going to be there forever, and there ain't no way to get out. But I said, Lord, make me a better preacher. Make me be a better soul winner. Let me tell more Jesus, more people about Jesus. Of course, you know, I'm known as the man that tells everybody I meet about Jesus anyway, but I need to tell more. I need to do a better job of winning people to Jesus. So we get home, finally get home after that long trip. We get home, I'm feeling a whole lot better. I'm not in too terrible of pain. And so Dave is out there, he meets us. He helps me get out of the car. I stumble into the house. He gets me back in the bed, and I go to bed, and I lay down. Cheryl's trying her best to strip my clothes off of me before I get in bed. She can't even get my shirt off of me. You know, she finally has to wait a little while, and later she finally does come back and finally gets my shirt off of me, where I'm laying there, just laying there almost with no clothes on at all, just a very few. And I finally go to sleep, and I'm praising the Lord and thanking Him. I don't know what He's doing. I said, Lord, I don't have a clue what You're doing here, but I know You're doing something for my good. You said all things work together for good for those of us that love You and serve You. So I don't know what You're doing. But the next morning, about 6 o'clock, I got up and I thought, wow, I got to go to the bathroom. So I got up and I started to the bathroom, and I walked into the bathroom, and when I went to sit down on the potty, because in my bathroom we got carpet, and I always sit down on the potty. I never stand up to urinate or nothing. I don't want to get pee on the carpet, so I sit down. You know, it's not that I'm a woman, I just don't want to mess up the carpet. So, and I'm going to tell you, if you ever come to my house and you go back there and you're a man, you're going to sit on my potty. You hear that? You ain't going to go back there and use the bathroom. I don't care how good a aim you got, you're going to sit down on my potty. If you don't want to sit on the potty, you go into church here where it's a tile floor or up here in these other, but you don't sit down in my house without sitting down, period. Because I don't want your pee on my carpet. Do y'all understand? My wife's up here crying, laughing at me. Well, you know, God gave me some stuff to take care of, and I like for it to smell good in there. You know, I don't like for it to smell all tainted. And so I sat down on the potty. And when I sat down on the potty, I realized, hey, up until now, every time I get up and stand up, if you've never had a hernia, you don't know what I'm talking about. But since I've had two, and the other one near as bad as this one, with a hole torn your side, the intestines come through between the two liners and falls down between them and falls down into your sac. And it fills up from the sac up with intestines. And I don't know if you've ever had a hernia, but let me tell you, it ain't no fun, it ain't comfortable, it hurts, everything about it. So all the time I had this thing, to be able to live with this thing, I knew they made all kinds of stuff, but I said, I first ordered me a couple of hernia belts, and I thought, you know, this ain't no faith at all. If I get up every morning and say, I'll put on my hernia belt, God ain't never going to heal me. So I've got to do something different. So I thought, I know what I'll do. Cheryl had run a pair of pantyhose, and she ripped the leg out down or something, and she started throwing them away, and I said, what are you going to do with those? She said, I'm going to throw them away. I said, let me have them. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to cut the legs off, and I'm going to use them. So I cut the legs off and pulled those pantyhose on. And of course, I found out the way to do it is lay down on the floor flat where that everything runs back inside, you know, and then you pull the pantyhose up, and they're nice and tight. And so then when you stand up, it forms a false wall there on your stomach, and the intestine does not come out and fall out. That's the way I existed the last 6 months. If I hadn't had those pantyhose, I couldn't have made it. You know, so some people say, gee, I didn't know men wear pantyhose. You do when you're in a situation like I was, I guarantee you. You gotta be able to get around and do things. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't make me any less man to wear a pair of pantyhose. You know, I was still a man. But I had to wear something to solve my problem. But when I went to the bathroom this morning, and when I felt, and there, my intestines were not down in there, and they were still up where they're supposed to be, and I stood up and I looked, and I felt of myself, and I pushed on myself, and I said, glory to God. I called Cheryl. I said, Cheryl, now I know what happened last night. She said, what do you mean, honey? I said, God was doing surgery on me with no anesthetic. And I said, He was healing me, and He put my intestine wall back together and put a new one in there. I said, my hernia that I had is completely gone. So she had to come in there and look and feel and everything. She said, oh, my goodness, it's gone. That's what I say, praise the King. Glory to God in the highest, I'm telling you. I mean, with the King, like I say, if you're willing to wait on the King, there ain't nothing impossible with God. And every time He does something like this for me or anybody that I know, when I look at Weston, when I think about what God done for him, this man right here, when he came to me, he had stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer. He's a PhD from a university, and he's a smart man. And he's also an ordained Baptist preacher. But he really didn't have everything he needed together to get healed. But with everything I had to put with him, with all he already knew, He was able to take all that word, and he was able to stand on God's word. When he was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer, he got, and of course, his problem, gentlemen, you all need to hear this. He come down with stage 4 terminal cancer in his older age because he had the same kind of problem. His daddy used to beat his mother when he was young, and he always hated his father for that. And that hatred for his father is what brought the cancer upon him. God says in his word, if you will not forgive everybody from your heart, I will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. So all of you guys that have been raised up in this craziness, you've been raised up, make sure you forgive your mother, your father, every human being. If you do not, I guarantee there will come a day that you'll wind up just like this man. This man didn't go through what y'all did. He had a pretty good life after he got away from school, home, and went to school. I don't think you had all the hell that they went through, did you, Weston? No. See, he didn't have that, but it didn't make any difference. He had a rotten life at home. He had a rotten daddy that didn't love his mother, that beat his mother, and he hated it. And so he hated his dad, and he had never forgiven him. And whenever I told him, I said, you got somebody you got unforgiveness toward. Well, his dad was number one, but he had two or three or four others too that wasn't quite so bad. But all that unforgiveness had brought stage 4 cancer upon him. I said, now, if you'll trust God, Weston, I guarantee if you'll trust God and you'll forgive those people and you'll stand on God's word, I said, you won't have to spend a dime and God will completely heal you. Well, he did exactly that, and he is completely healed now for about 5 years. Completely healed, no problem whatsoever. Yeah, God is good. You know, the thing about it, God will forgive us. And I'm gonna tell you guys, since y'all are here today, we're talking about testimonies before we quit. The man that welcomed y'all in, Dave Rosenfeld, y'all met Dave, right? You know him? I met Dave 8 or 10 years ago, whatever it was. And when I met him, he was a computer science engineer for Nortel. He has a great education. He is a very brilliant man, and he had a great job making big bucks. And he went to a seminar I went to over in Plano. And when I was teaching, I said, you know, I don't care what's wrong with you. If you'll do what I tell you to do from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. And he said, now, wait a minute. You can't guarantee God will do anything. But let me tell you, he has since found out I can. Because when Dave... It intrigued him, at least, when I made that statement. He'd never heard anybody make a statement like that. So Dave started coming to my church. I was in North Dallas at the time. And when he came to my church, he began to listen to what I had to teach out of God's word. I teach the word just like it's written, line by line, word by word. And finally, after about 3 months, he said, now I see how you can guarantee God. God did make these promises. I said, yes, he did, Dave. I said, so... All you've got to do, I said, did anybody else in your family have this terrible disease? He had eczema. It was all over his body. And if you guys have not seen his testimony, get Sickness is Satanic Oppression. And the first hour on that DVD is all about Dave and pictures they took all the time he was sick. Dave had oozing running sores on his face, on his neck, on his arms, on his body, on his legs, and his feet were awful. He was one big sore. One big sore. He was awful. And it was because of somebody's sin way back yonder, a generational curse. Because his grandmother had the sickness, his mother had the sickness, and now then he has the sickness. And the doctors believe it's in his DNA. And the doctors told him that, Dave, you and your wife won't be able to have any children, because if you have any children, they'll all have this because it's in your DNA. Do you want your children to be sick like you? And he said, no, never. I want children, but I don't want them sick like me. I hate this disease. Well, when he met me, I told him, Dave, you don't have to be sick. You can be healed. All you got to do is claim the promises of God and stand on them. So I said, we'll break the curse over you, and then we'll claim the promises of God, and I guarantee God will heal you. Well, we broke the curse and began to pray over Dave, and he began to get a little better. And then I told him now, he said, but I'm not getting completely well. I said, because you got sin in your life, Dave. I said, you got to start breaking every sin and repenting of every sin you got in your life. You got to get clean before God. You know, when God says, be holy, guys, you know what he meant? Amen. Be holy. You know, if you want to walk in divine health, you're going to do it his way. There ain't no other way. And so Dave began to repent of different sins, and he finally got his life completely cleaned up. And when he did, it took him 20 total months, but Dave came out on top, completely healed. And he's been healed for how many years, Dave?
Seven
years he's been completely healed. So if you guys have not encountered this healing Jesus, we know him out here, guys. All of us know him now. We see God do awesome things, and maybe you'll have picked up a trait or two from us that might be beneficial to you, because I know that where you guys come from, it would be so easy to hold a grudge against a mother or a father or an aunt or an uncle or any. Y'all know what I mean? If you were raised up like you guys were, you'd say, well, I hate him or I hate her. Thank you. You didn't do nothing for me. And they might not have. But guess who that's going to hurt? You. Because God said, if you do not forgive those people from your heart, he will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. And when I look at Weston, that's exactly what happened to Weston. Here he is. I mean, this guy was a university professor over here with a PhD. And here he is dying 5, 7, or 8 years ago, whatever it was, with terminal cancer. And he ain't ready to go home yet. He still wants to live. So he's got to find out what's caused it. Well, we were able to show him. And he got rid of that sin, and he stood in faith. And now he's written a book about his experience and everything, and he's shipping them out all over the world. And I know it's going to touch many people's heart, you know, and because he listened to the scripture at night, you know, to feed the Word of God into his brain, even while he's sleeping, because the right side of your brain never sleeps. It's open, and all, it never sleeps. It never rests. It works all the time. So there's a lot of things that we all need to know, and if we'll work together, it's amazing what we can do and how we can walk in health. But it's impossible to walk in health if you hold an unforgiveness. And if all the men that divorce their wives, it's amazing how they don't understand how it keeps them broke and sick the rest of their life. How many men have I seen that divorce their wife and they're always out of money? They ain't got enough, can't even afford. And then they marry another woman and she's already got 2 or 3 kids. Now they had 2 or 3. Now they got all these kids. And they ain't both of them together, can't make enough money, and ain't nobody ever happy. Isn't that terrible? What we're doing, you know, where if we'd keep one man, one woman, and one set of kids, life would be good. I know. I lived that. I had one wife, one son, one daughter, and I had the ultimate. I was so fortunate because I started out with a good mama and a good daddy. That's why when I see a mama and a daddy like this with these 3 little ones, they love Jesus. They'll be together forever, I'll tell you for sure. I know this couple loves each other and they love these babies. When these babies get to be 18, 20 years old, the only thing they'll remember is the good times, how Dad showed them how to do things, how they love Daddy. He's been a good daddy. If ever man would be like Scott and Kim, we need a lot of them. Do y'all know that? We need a lot of them. But I'm telling you what an awesome experience that I had with God this last week. I can stand before you and say, Cheryl and I prayed and I repented. I humbled myself before God and said, Lord, I know I talked about Obama when I shouldn't have, and I knew when I was doing it I was wrong. So boy, did I get beaten with few stripes or many stripes. Boy, if I only got beaten with few, I wouldn't want to get beaten with many. Oh, Lord. I remember it well. Never have I had a pain like that in my life. But that's what God said he'll do, didn't he? It's in his word. We fail to realize who this awesome God is, and he don't play games. He is an awesome God. Wow. Well, we're going to close with a word of prayer. Roy bought these little chick tracts, and I forgot to tell y'all the other day. Stop and get you some of those and read them. They're really good. Take them with you, you know, anywhere you want to take them. Leave them in bathrooms or anywhere, you know. Just take them and distribute them around. Those are great little tracts. You know, say, Roy, he brought those things, and he brought the little rack and everything. We said it there, and I was going to tell last week, and I forgot it, but I did. And now today, after Cheryl reminded me, and again, I want to remind you that this last week, Cheryl mailed out all the giving records. So if you will get your giving record any day. It'll be a few days, 3 or 4 days or something like that by Friday. But they finally got those done. Of course, they did it real quick. They're getting faster all the time. I remember the first year I was in the ministry all by myself. It took me the whole month to do a tenth of what we do today. You know, because I was by myself and we had a little bitty ministry. And so a tenth of what we do today, it took me a month, and Cheryl and Dave does it in 2 days now. I mean, Dave, he knows the computers and what Cheryl knows about computers, and the two of them, and of course I type like this, you know, and they're going 90 miles an hour, you know, and I can't hardly do it right by doing it one key at a time, and they're both going so fast I can't see their hands working, hardly ever miss a note. And so it's just amazing how educated some people are and what they can do, and I'm grateful God brought them all to me. I'm grateful for my wife that God brought me, and I'm grateful for Dave and his family. The one thing I didn't say about Dave that I was going to say a while ago, when the doctor said they could have no children or they'd all be sick, after he got healed, they have now birthed 5 babies in this ministry center here at home. Himself delivered the babies with no doctors, and there ain't not one single one of them sick. They're all well. Is God a good God? They wanted babies. He got babies. They got babies. And the beautiful part about their babies, they're all well. Not a single sore on none of them. Because I don't blame Dave. I wouldn't have wanted to brought children in the world that was going to be sick like that either. You know, but that's just the way it is. But people don't know. When the Lord says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, what we don't know, you know. And I mean, just like I say, the first time I didn't have the faith to stand for healing of a hernia. I could go get a doctor, and then I had the faith to stand that I would have no pain, and it worked. That's all the faith I had. But this time I had the faith to stand for the whole thing. And by me and Cheryl praying and standing for the whole thing, it took nearly 8 months, but God showed up. And I really think he did it for 2 reasons. I think that he waited till where I was that night for 2 reasons. One, he wanted to heal me, but he didn't want me to get with Henry yet. I wasn't ready to talk to Henry. But now then that I know what he believes, by the next time we meet, I will be well armed. You can be well assured, because I'm just like him. I am just exactly like Henry. You know, don't tell me that you believe this unless you can confirm it from God's word. Now, if you can show it to me in the word, you know, just like when I told somebody the other night, I think I was at that conference, I don't remember where I was, but I told somebody about God beating you with few stripes or many stripes, and they said, that ain't in the Bible. I said, oh, yes, it is. They said, where? I said, it's in Luke something, but I can't remember where exactly. But I said, it's in there. No, I've read the Bible several times. I have never read that. Do you all know we can read the Bible and miss something? Obviously we can, yeah. What really gets me is when somebody says something, I said, no, I don't ever remember that. And then they tell me where it is, and I go over there, and I got it underlined, highlighted, and starred. You know, so, okay. Will that have a tendency to humble you? Yes, it should, right? Because we think we never forget nothing. And so I remember a PhD that I worked for, an engineer out of Washington years ago, and I finally led his wife to Jesus. And then I started to tell him about Jesus. Well, he said, I'm a Christian. I said, well, your wife wasn't a Christian. Well, yeah, I know. You know, I said, we don't go to church. I said, what? You're married to a lost girl? She was a Buddhist. I've told her about Jesus. I finally got her saved over the telephone, changed her life forever. In fact, Cheryl and I had a beautiful visit with him and her the other day. They came to Dallas, and they invited us down to the hotel. We went down and met with them for several hours. And Pawnee, that's one of the things she said, Thurman, thank you for leading me to Jesus. You changed my life forever. I thought, wow, it is a life-changing thing. But when they first got her, led her to Christ, I started telling Rick, I said, Rick, y'all need to, of course, he's a computer science engineer too, with I think 3 or 4 PhDs. This guy's brilliant. And I said, y'all need to read the Bible together. Okay, we will. Where do we start? I said, in Matthew, and read all, you know, just read a chapter or two, and don't read it fast, read it slow, and meditate on it. Well, they did, and I don't know, several months later, when he called me one day, he said, oh, by the way, we finished the book of the New Testament last night. I said, oh, good. I said, wasn't there some wonderful promises in it? Yeah, some pretty neat stuff in there. I said, what do you think about Matthew 18:19, the prayer of agreement? He said, the what? I said, Matthew 18:19, the prayer of agreement. He said, what did that say? I said, it says that if two of us on earth shall agree about anything we ask him for, it shall be done by our Father which is in heaven. He said, no, Thurman, something that powerful, I would always remember that. So that wasn't in my Bible. I said, well, do you have a Bible somewhere handy? Well, yeah, right here. I said, get it and open it to Matthew 18:19. And he always said, it does say that. You see how we can miss things? Either that or the enemy will be right there. And as you're reading, he'll say, get your mind on something else so you don't remember it. Guarantee he's good at what he does. But anyway, you guys, y'all brought these crosses. They're for sale, right? Is that what it is? So if y'all would like any of these, you know, I don't know what the price is on the backside of them. Are they all the same price? Or?
No, they vary.
They're what?
They vary.
They vary? Okay. Well, is the prices on them? Okay, y'all will be back there. Okay. And this is the way they make money. Of course, we give them a donation too, you know, and we bought their dinner, so they'll have to go to dinner, but we don't have any way to give them dinner, so we just give them money so they can go to dinner. And so they'll eat something. They may not can't eat at the steakhouse and get a sirloin steak for what we give them, but they can eat a pretty nice little meal. So lots of places, I know that. So, but anyway, if you want to talk with them, anything, or, you know, you're welcome to stay and talk with them, whatever you want to do. We're going to close in a word of prayer. And then if there's anybody needs prayer from Cheryl and I or Eldon and Nancy or Rosemary or whoever, Dave and Jeff will both be here. We'll all be here to pray with you this afternoon. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful that you are the mighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, I just want to praise you. I want to praise you and thank you for healing my hernia, Lord. I am so grateful, Lord. I've told you 1,000 times since you've done it. But I can't tell you how much I love you for your healing power and how even in our wickedness you still forgive us and are merciful to us. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you're such a mighty God. Lord, use Cheryl and I and this little team here in a mighty way to do great and mighty things for your kingdom. Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, now that I've been healed, I know how grateful I can look at Weston over there and know how good he feels to know he's healed. Because, Lord, when you're healed, you just feel good. And, Lord, I'm grateful. And may we be able to get many more people healed by using the name of Jesus and the principles of the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day, and thank you for these men that you sent. Thank you for bringing these men together, for setting these men free and making yourself known to these men, Lord. They need to know this Jesus, the real Jesus, the one that saves, heals, and delivers. And Lord, may you send all the men that need to know you like that to Teen Challenge and let them minister to them. May you give them workers and men of God, men of faith that'll know that you're real, that can produce a demonstration of the Spirit's power when they pray. Lord, thank you for being our God. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful that you're such a mighty, awesome God. And we give you praise and glory and honor for all you do. And Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord.